All right, ready for a deep dive?
Always.
Today, it's all about mental health professionals. You know, counselors, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists.
Yeah, those terms.
They get thrown around. But do we really know the difference? And does it even matter?
It matters a lot. If you need help, wouldn't it be great to know exactly who to turn to? Like, just as you wouldn't see a cardiologist for a broken bone.
Right. You want the right specialist for the job.
Exactly. So, let's untangle this web, shall we?
Let's do it. First up, counselors. Imagine feeling lost in your career or struggling with a specific issue like a gaming addiction.
Uh-huh. Been there.
That's where a counselor can be super helpful, right?
Totally. They're trained to help people manage challenges and improve their well-being.
And there are so many types. Career counseling, addiction counseling, mental health counseling, rehab, marriage and family, school, even college counseling.
I cover a lot of ground.
So how does one become a counselor? What kind of training is involved?
Usually it's at least a master's degree, sometimes even a doctorate. They go through extensive coursework, tons of hands-on training.
That makes sense. You need serious expertise to deal with such diverse issues. And what about their methods? What kind of techniques do they use?
Oh, it really depends on the client and what they need. But some common approaches are behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT.
Ah, CBT. I've heard of that. Sure. It's all about retraining those negative thought patterns, right?
Exactly. It's about identifying and changing those thoughts that can drag us down and the behaviors that come with them. Let's say you're thinking, I'm going to fail this test.
Yeah, classic pre-exam anxiety.
Right. A CBT counselor might help you challenge that thought, look at past successes, maybe help you study more effectively, and then reframe that thought into something more balanced, like, I'm prepared. Even if it's tough, I'm going to do my best.
I love that. It's like teaching yourself to think in a healthier way.
Exactly. Breaking free from those self-defeating cycles. But CBT is just one technique. Counselors also use humanistic, psychoanalytic, and systemic approaches. It's about finding what fits the person best.
So counseling seems like a great starting point for a lot of people. But what about those dealing with more serious mental health concerns? Diagnosed disorders, that's where therapists come in, right?
Yeah, though therapists can be a broad term.
Sure.
They focus on diagnosing and treating those mental health disorders specifically.
So the therapist digs deeper into the diagnosis, and that relationship becomes really important for effective treatment.
Exactly. They'll develop a treatment plan, provide counseling, sometimes involve family if it's appropriate. They might refer to other specialists if needed.
A holistic approach.
Yeah.
And do therapists use CBT too and techniques like that?
Oh, yeah, they've got a diverse toolkit. You'll find CBT, psychodynamic therapy, which delves into your unconscious thoughts and feelings.
Whoa, unconscious thoughts. That's getting deep.
It can be. Then there's behavioral therapy, all about changing problematic behaviors directly.
Okay, so different tools for different jobs.
Right. And there's humanistic therapy, emphasizing personal growth and self-awareness. Plus, therapies for specific needs, like DBT, that's dialectical behavior therapy for managing intense emotions, and EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing for dealing with trauma.
So many options. What are some signs it might be time to see a therapist?
Good question. Persistent sadness, overwhelming anxiety, big changes in sleep or appetite, or even just difficulty handling everyday life. If your mental state is making it tough to function and enjoy life, talking to a therapist could be incredibly beneficial.
That's good to know. Sometimes it's hard to tell when those feelings become something more serious, but remember everyone, asking for help is smart and brave, not a weakness at all. Okay, we've talked about counselors and therapists. What about psychologists? Are they just therapists with a fancier title?
Not quite. Psychologists are the mind detectives, the experts in human behavior, emotions, thought processes, what makes us tick.
Love that. So how do you become a mind detective?
Well, it starts with a bachelor's in psychology, but then many get a master's or even a doctorate to specialize. Child psychologists, clinical psychologists, counseling psychologists, all diving deep into specific areas.
And I bet becoming a licensed psychologist is a whole other process.
It is. Supervised experience, passing tough national exams, all to make sure they meet the highest standards.
You want someone who knows their stuff. What kind of methods do psychologists use?
Many of the therapies we discussed, like CBT, psychodynamic, and humanistic, but they might also use group therapy, psychoanalysis, or even brain imaging to understand what's going on in our heads.
Brain imaging, wow. They really get into the nitty-gritty. Okay, so we've got counselors, therapists, psychologists. Time to tackle our last group, psychiatrists. What sets them apart?
This is where it gets interesting. Psychiatrists are medical doctors specializing in mental health. They can prescribe medication, which is a key difference.
Ah, so that's the big distinction. Their training involves medical school.
Right, you bet. They go through all of medical school, earn an MD or DO degree, then do a four-year residency focusing specifically on psychiatry.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and some even specialize further. Child and adolescent psychiatry, geriatric psychiatry.
So they work with people of all ages. And since they're medical doctors, does their approach to treatment look different?
It does. They often combine medication management with psychotherapy. It's a multi-pronged approach to mental health care.
Give us some examples of those treatments.
Sure. They might prescribe medications like antidepressants, antipsychotics, mood stabilizers, depending on what the person needs. They also incorporate therapy, CBT, psychodynamic, humanistic, you name it. It's finding the right balance.
So addressing both the biological and psychological aspects of mental health.
Exactly. And in some cases, they might use what we call interventional treatments like electroconvulsive therapy or ECT.
ECT. That sounds pretty intense.
It is, usually reserved for severe cases that haven't responded to other treatments. Another option is transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. Imagine a gentle magnetic pulse stimulating specific parts of the brain. It's shown to be helpful for things like depression, but they always look at the person's overall health, incorporating lifestyle changes and a more holistic approach.
That's good to hear. Not just masking symptoms, but promoting overall well-being. We've been talking about diagnosing these conditions, haven't we? I've heard of this thing called the DSM-5. How does that fit in?
Ah, yes, the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition. Basically, it's the handbook mental health professionals use to diagnose mental health conditions.
So like a universal guidebook.
Exactly. It helps ensure everyone's on the same page, that diagnoses are consistent and accurate.
Consistency is key. This has been such a helpful overview of these different professions. It feels like we've only scratched the surface, but I'm already seeing how important it is to understand these distinctions.
I agree. It's about empowering yourself to make informed choices about your mental health care. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, and knowing who does what can make a huge difference in finding the right support.
So true. And we've got a lot more to cover. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we'll be putting all this knowledge into practice with some real-life scenarios, exploring which type of mental health professional might be the best fit for different situations. Welcome back.
Yeah.
We've got a better grasp on these different mental health professionals now, right?
We do.
So let's put that knowledge to the test.
I'm game.
How about we walk through a few real-life scenarios, see which type of professional might be the best fit?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, let's start with something relatable. Imagine a college freshman feeling completely overwhelmed, workload's huge, struggling to balance studying with, you know, having a social life.
Yeah, classic college struggles.
Who should they turn to first?
That sounds like a perfect case for a college counselor. They're trained to help students navigate those exact pressures.
It makes sense. They get the unique challenges of that environment.
Exactly. They could help with study habits, time management, maybe connect them with resources on campus.
Okay, college sorted. But what if it goes beyond just adjusting to a new environment? Say we have a young adult, they've been feeling down for a while, lost interest in things they used to love, sleeping too much or too little, appetites all over the place.
Uh-oh, that sounds a bit more serious.
It does, right?
Yeah, those could be signs of depression. Seeing a therapist or psychologist would be a good next step.
So they can help figure out what's going on, suggest a course of treatment.
Absolutely. Assess the situation, make a diagnosis if needed, and then recommend the best course of action, therapy, medication, or a combination of both.
Okay. Makes sense. It depends on the individual and how they're feeling. What if we ramp up the intensity? Someone's dealing with intense anxiety, really interfering with their daily life, panic attacks, avoiding social situations.
Now we're talking. This definitely calls for professional help. Both a therapist and a psychiatrist could be helpful here.
Because a psychiatrist can prescribe medication, right?
Yeah. Exactly. For severe anxiety, medication can be really effective in managing those physical symptoms, like a racing heart, feeling short of breath.
So a combination of therapy and medication.
Often a good approach. The therapist can help develop coping mechanisms, challenge those anxious thoughts. The psychiatrist can address any underlying biological factors.
Okay, last scenario. A couple is constantly arguing, struggling to communicate, affecting their relationship, their kids.
Oof, sounds rough.
Where should they turn?
Marriage and family therapists, for sure. They specialize in helping couples and families improve communication, resolve conflicts.
So they look at the whole family system, how everyone's playing a part.
That's it. They understand those dynamics and can guide the family towards healthier interactions.
These scenarios are great, really driving home how understanding those different roles can help you choose the right professional.
It's all about finding the best fit for your unique situation. Speaking of fit, how about we delve into those specific techniques?
Yes, let's unpack them a bit. I'm curious to hear more about how they actually work in practice.
Good idea. Where should we start?
Well, we talked about behavioral therapy earlier. Can you give us a concrete example of how that might play out?
Okay, imagine someone struggling with insomnia. Can't fall asleep or stay asleep, it's impacting their life.
Ugh, I can relate to that. Sleep is so important.
Tell me about it. A behavioral therapist might start by helping them establish a regular sleep schedule, create a relaxing bedtime routine, maybe make changes to their sleep environment.
Good sleep hygiene.
Exactly. It's about identifying those habits that are contributing to the problem and replacing them with more helpful ones.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about CBT? We talked about how it can help reframe negative thoughts, but how does that actually work?
Let's stick with our sleep-deprived individual. Maybe they're lying in bed thinking, I'm never going to fall asleep. This is
Yeah,
hopeless.
I've been there.
A CBT therapist would help them challenge that thought. They might ask, is that always true? Have there been times when you've fallen asleep easily? Explore the evidence, help them develop more balanced thoughts, practice those new ways of thinking.
So it's not just about positive thinking, but being realistic and challenging those unhelpful thought patterns.
Right, giving yourself a reality check and then giving yourself the tools to think differently. It's amazing how our thoughts shape our feelings and behaviors. CBT helps you gain control over that.
All right, so we've got behavioral therapy, CBT. What other techniques are out there?
Well, there's humanistic therapy, which takes a more person-centered approach, creating a safe space for you to explore your thoughts and feelings without judgment.
So really understanding and accepting yourself.
Exactly. Humanistic therapists believe everyone has the potential for growth and self-actualization. They help you tap into that potential. They focus on the therapeutic relationship, building a strong connection so you feel comfortable opening up.
That sounds powerful. What about psychoanalytic techniques? That one delves into the unconscious, right?
That's the one. It's all about exploring how past experiences, especially from childhood, might be influencing your current thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Really digging deep.
Like uncovering those hidden patterns that drive our actions without us even realizing it.
Exactly. Think of it like an archaeological dig into your psyche. It's a journey of self-discovery. It can be helpful for understanding recurring patterns in relationships, careers, those sorts of things.
I can see how that could be really valuable for some people. Okay, one last technique, the systemic approach. What's that all about?
Systemic therapists look beyond the individual. They consider the systems they're part of, like their family, workplace, even society as a whole.
So they're acknowledging that our environment plays a big role in our mental health.
Absolutely. They might work with a family to see how their dynamics are contributing to an individual's challenges, or explore how societal factors like discrimination or poverty impact someone's well-being.
That's a really interesting perspective. We're all interconnected. Our mental health is influenced by so much more than just our individual thoughts and feelings.
It really is. So we've explored all these different professionals and techniques, but how does someone actually get started? What should they expect when they decide to seek help?
That's the big question. Taking that first step can feel daunting. Let's break it down.
I agree. Demystify the process. Empower people to reach out. So step one, maybe the most important, recognizing that you need help.
I can see how that would be the biggest hurdle for some people.
It often is. There's still so much stigma around mental health. Admitting you need help can be tough.
It's like admitting you need help with anything. You're showing vulnerability. But reaching out is a sign of strength, not weakness.
Absolutely. You're prioritizing your well-being. Okay, so someone's recognized they need help. Now what?
Finding the right mental health professional, someone who's a good fit.
Right, and that can feel overwhelming. Where do you even start?
It can be a bit of a maze.
It can be. Luckily, there are resources. A good first step. Talk to your primary care physician. They can provide referrals.
Oh, that's a good idea. They can help you navigate the system.
Exactly. And another good resource, your workplace. Many companies have EAPs, employee assistance programs, provide confidential counseling services.
That's great. It makes accessing care so much easier.
And of course, there's the internet.
Yeah.
Online directories like Psychology Today are super helpful. You can search based on specialty, location, insurance, even the types of therapy they offer.
So you can really narrow it down.
Exactly. And don't forget about word of mouth referrals. Talking to people you trust, friends, family, colleagues can be really valuable.
Like a personal recommendation.
Exactly. And don't forget, many therapists offer free initial consultations.
Those are so helpful. Like a meet and greet. See if you vibe before committing.
Love that. Okay, so you found a potential therapist, scheduled a consultation. What should you pay attention to during that meeting?
Number one for me, how does it feel to talk to them? Do you feel heard, respected, understood?
That's so important. The therapeutic relationship is the foundation. It needs to feel right.
Like any relationship, really. Trust, connection.
Absolutely. You also want to ask about their experience, their approach. Do they specialize in what you're struggling with? What techniques do they use?
And don't hesitate to ask practical things, like fees and insurance coverage.
All important details to get out of the way up front.
They are. Okay, so the consultation goes well, you're feeling good. What happens next?
Time to schedule that first therapy session.
Exciting.
Right. And during that session, the therapist will usually ask about your history, what you're struggling with, your goals for therapy.
Really start to build that alliance.
Exactly. And from there, you'll work together to develop a treatment plan, outlining the goals, approaches, frequency of sessions.
It's a collaborative process.
It is. But it's important to remember, therapy is process. It takes time and effort.
It does.
It requires commitment, vulnerability, a willingness to explore those sometimes uncomfortable emotions and experiences.
It can be challenging, but the rewards are worth it.
They absolutely are. Investing in your mental health, you're investing in your overall well-being, a step towards a more fulfilling, authentic life.
Okay, before we move on, I want to clear up a common point of confusion.
Yeah.
The difference between psychologists and psychiatrists. We touched on it earlier, but can we dive a bit deeper?
Of course. I think it's important to understand those distinctions. So psychologists, they have a doctorate in psychology, either a PhD or a PsyD. Their training focuses on human behavior, emotions, the way we think.
The inner workings of the mind.
Exactly. They use various techniques, including therapy and assessments, to help people understand and manage their mental health challenges.
And psychiatrists, they're medical doctors.
That's right. They've been to medical school, completed a residency in psychiatry. Their training focuses on the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of mental, emotional, and behavioral disorders.
And being medical doctors, they can prescribe medication. A key difference.
It is. So if someone's struggling with a mental health condition that might require medication, a psychiatrist would be the right person to see.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But both psychologists and psychiatrists can provide therapy, right?
They can. But their approaches might differ a little because of their training. A psychologist might lean towards talk therapy approaches like CBT or psychodynamic therapy. A psychiatrist with their medical background might be more likely to consider biological factors, recommend medication as part of the treatment plan.
So it's not a case of one being better than the other, but finding the right fit for your needs.
Exactly. They both bring unique expertise to the table. They often work together to provide comprehensive care for those with complex needs.
That collaborative approach is great. A whole team of professionals ready to support you on your mental health journey.
It is a team effort. And remember, taking care of your mental health is just as important as taking care of your physical health.
Absolutely. It's all part of a healthy and fulfilling life. We'll be right back to explore some practical tips and resources for finding the right mental health professional for you. We're back for the final part of our deep dive. We've covered a lot about mental health professionals and all the different approaches.
We have lots of info.
But now let's get practical. How do you actually find the right help for you?
Great question. We talked about starting with your doctor for referrals and checking if your work has an EAP.
Right. Good first steps.
And then there are those online directories like Psychology Today where you can filter by all sorts of things, specialty, location, insurance.
Super handy.
Definitely. And never underestimate good old word of mouth. Talk to friends, family, colleagues who've had positive experiences.
Like a personal recommendation can make it less scary.
Totally. And remember, those free consultations.
Oh yeah, those are key. A chance to see if you click with the therapist before committing to anything.
Like a first date for your mental health. So let's say you found someone, you're ready for that consultation. What should you pay attention to?
Honestly, it's that gut feeling. Do I feel comfortable with this person? Do they make me feel heard, understood? Respected.
Those are all crucial. That therapeutic relationship is the foundation of everything.
It's got to feel right, like any relationship.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask about their experience, their approach. Do they specialize in what you're dealing with? What techniques do they use?
Practical stuff, too. Fees, insurance.
Absolutely. Get those logistics out of the way early on.
So let's say it goes well, you're feeling good about the therapist. What's next?
Time to schedule that first session.
And what can you expect in that first session?
Usually it's about getting to know each other. The therapist might ask about your background, what brought you there, your goals for therapy.
Start building that rapport.
Exactly. And then you'll work together on a treatment plan. Goals, approaches, how often you'll meet.
It's a team effort, this whole therapy thing.
It is. And it's important to remember, therapy is a process. It takes time. It takes effort.
No quick fixes.
Right. It takes commitment. Being open and vulnerable, willingness to face those tough emotions and experiences.
It can be challenging, but it's so worth it.
It really is. Investing in your mental health is investing in your overall well-being. It's a step towards a more fulfilling, more authentic life.
Beautifully said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away?
That you're not alone. There are people out there who care, who want to help. Reaching out is a sign of strength. It's about taking control, creating a brighter future for yourself.
And just like you'd prioritize your physical health, make mental well-being a priority too. It's all part of living a healthy, fulfilling life.
Absolutely. If you're feeling overwhelmed, lost, or just need some extra support, reach out. There's help available. You deserve to feel your best.
Couldn't agree more. That's it for this deep dive into the world of mental health professionals. We hope you feel empowered to find the support you need.
Thanks for joining us.
Take care, everyone, and we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.